Okay, Psalms chapter number 31. Thank you, brother, for getting my picture up there. I want you to look with me at one verse of scripture this morning in Psalms chapter 31. You can keep your Bibles out, and we'll look at a couple of more scriptures. But I want you to look at Psalms chapter 31 and look at verse number 15 with me, if you would. Psalms 31 and verse number 15. The psalmist said, "My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you again this morning, God, we thank you for a good day. Lord, thank you for the sweet moving of the Holy Spirit already in this service this morning. Now, God, I pray that you'd bless the reading of your word. Lord, touch this earthen vessel this morning. God, use us to be a help and a blessing to these, thy people, God, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The psalmist said, "My times are in thy hand." In other words, the psalmist is saying, "Lord, my days on this earth are in your hands." This was the theme for the youth meeting up in New York. And I had this thought and I had prepared this message for that meeting, and I got up there and the Lord just would not let me preach it. I didn't even preach on the theme. I went in a totally different direction every service, and it was amazing that every other preacher that stood, every one of them preached on the theme, and one of them preached almost this message exactly that I had. I looked at my notes and I thought, I can't believe this. That's why the Lord didn't have me do it. And last night as we was flying home on the plane, I was pondering some things in my head, and the Lord said, "I did not give you that message for the youth meeting. I gave you that message for Sunday." I want you to think about your time this morning. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 16, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Redeeming the time for the days are evil. Listen, man, I don't know how much time we got. Have you ever told anybody, "I just don't have time? I'd like to do this or I'd like to do that, but I just don't have time"? Everybody's busy, but guess what? We all have the same amount of time. Your 60 seconds is no different than my 60 seconds. Your hour is no different than my hour. And your day is no different than my day. We may have different backgrounds and different jobs and different responsibilities, but we all have the same amount of time each and every day. And I thought about this. I thought about this while we was gone, and I was dead dog tired Friday morning when the alarm clock went off, and I did what everybody does. I hit the snooze button. I did it again this morning. I mean, boy, we got on a plane Thursday morning, flew to New York, got off the plane, took a shower, went straight to service, back in service Friday morning, and in service till 3:30 Friday afternoon, back at church at 7 o'clock, in service till after 11 o'clock Friday night, and then back yesterday morning and in service till 1 o'clock, straight to the airport. Buddy, I'm telling you, when that clock went off this morning, I wanted to shoot it. How many of you got a snooze button? Some of you snoozing right now. Amen. I believe so many are living their life on snooze. But you know what I come to realize when I was laying in the hotel Friday morning? I hit that snooze button and I laid there, and it seemed like I no longer shut my eyes till it went off again. And I hit that thing again. I hit it several times. But what I realized that while I was snoozing, time kept on ticking. Time kept on ticking. Hitting snooze don't stop time. You might be able now to pause live TV, but you don't pause life. You don't pause life. It just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. I don't know about you, but I'm bad to procrastinate. Why put off, do today what you can put off till tomorrow? And there are some things in your life you can put off. Amen. Like cutting the grass. Some of you men help me right there. Amen. Amen. You can put off cutting the grass. I look at it like this. Just let it grow. And when I cut it, there'll be more of it. So I'm getting more done. I'm accomplishing more if I'm cutting more. Amen. You can put off getting a haircut. There's several things you can put off. But sometimes in life, there's some things that the snooze button just won't work. There's some things when the alarm goes off, you're going to have to get up. Now, some of us have been hearing the alarm over and over and over. You hear the preaching. You hear the Word of God. You know what you need to do, but you keep telling God, let's snooze one more time. Let's snooze one more time. Let's just lay here a little bit longer. Hey, I'm just not ready yet. I'm not ready to get up. I'm not ready to take action. Just let me hit snooze one more time. You can push snooze one too many times. And you're going to realize it's too late. It's too late now. I was flying to Pennsylvania a while back, and I had a very, very early flight. And I forgot what the situation was, but I wound up staying up way too late. And I looked at the clock, and I thought, if I go to bed, I'm only going to be able to sleep for a couple of hours, and I got to get up and go to the airport. And here was my way of thinking. I'm not going to sleep. I'll sleep on the plane. I'm just going to kick back here and rest a minute. Anybody ever done that? I'm just going to kick back and close my eyes just for a minute and ponder and think about what I'm going to preach when I get there. And I'm just going to rest a minute. And I close my eyes just for a second. And I opened them back up and my plane was gone. I'm going to wait just a minute. And I'm going to get up. And boy, that minute turned into a couple of hours. And I woke up and it was absolutely too late. The plane had already left. It was gone. One of these days you're going to open up your eyes and the plane's going to be gone. It's going to be absolutely too late. Somebody said, well, I'll wait and believe in Jesus when I see Him. It'll be too late then. Oh, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that He is Lord, but it'll be too late then. The alarm's going off this morning. My phone, I use my phone as an alarm clock, and it has an alarm. It sounds like a horn, and it's the most annoying sound. It goes, meh, 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 meh. I hate that sound. I want to be your meh, 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 meh this morning. And I want you not to push the snooze. I want you to wake up and take action about what you're about to hear. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. It is time to wake up and do some things. Brother Charles, in your preacher voice, read 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 6 good and loud right quick.
For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Did you hear that? He said, now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of salvation. Listen, there is a time to be saved. I believe there is an appointed time for a man to be saved. I believe God's dealt to every man the measure of faith. I believe it's God's will that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. I ain't got an ounce of Calvinism in me. I believe Jesus died for all men. Hey, but there is a time when we are going to have to accept what He has done for us. Listen, everybody in the South, you knock on their door. If you was born in the South and raised in the South, somehow that automatically makes you saved and on your way to heaven. I've heard every excuse in the world. Hey, are you going to heaven when you die? Yeah, I'm a member at First Baptist Church. That don't make you saved. I'm a member of the Methodist Church. That don't make you saved. I've been baptized. That don't make you saved. Only trust in Christ will make you saved. Amen. That Philippian jailer looked at Paul and Silas and said, men and sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. People are trying to get to heaven today every which way in the world. Blowing themselves up. That's retarded. I'm going to kill a bunch of people and that'll get me to heaven. Something strangely wrong with that. They're making up religions. They're making up religions to suit their lifestyle. It don't work. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Somebody said, every time I come to this church, you preach salvation. I'm going to you get saved. I'm going to keep preaching. Hey, I don't want you to die and go to hell. I'm not trying to get you to join this church or give a big offering. I just want you to know you're going to heaven when you die. Amen. Are you still pushing snooze? How many times, Brother Freddie, have we heard, I'm just not ready yet?
Yeah.
What would keep you ready from being saved? Saying, I'm not ready, means that there's something left for you to do. You have nothing to do in your salvation. Jesus has already done it. To say that you're not ready is to say that He's not able. Are we okay? There is a time to be saved. I wonder if today, on February the 21st, Sunday morning, if that is not your time to be saved. 20 teenagers, Rochester, New York, realized it was their time to be saved. Young men and young women from all over this country falling on their face and asking God to come into their heart and forgive them of their sin. Hey, I'm saying this morning, it's your time. It's your time. The alarm's going off. Mah, mah, mah. Don't hit snooze. Don't hit snooze. It wouldn't bother me if you come to this altar while I'm preaching. Somebody get down here and pray with you and take a Bible and tell you how to be saved. You say, well, I don't know if I need to be saved. The Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none worthy, not one, none righteous, not one. Amen. We're all sinners. Every one of us are sinners. The Pope's a sinner. Amen. We're all sinners. People worship Mary. Mary was a sinner. We're all born into sin. You say, I'm not a sinner. Well, have you ever lied? You broke the Ten Commandments when you did that.
Right.
Amen. We're all sinners. There is a time to be saved. And I'm wondering if this morning is not just your time.
Yes.
You've put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off. There's only going to be so many times you can hit snooze. I grew up in a great church. I heard the gospel preached from the time I was 4 years old till I was 19. No telling how many times I hit that snooze button. I'd hear that preaching of the gospel and the Lord would prick my heart. And deep down inside, I knew I needed to get saved. And I kept putting that off and putting that off and putting that off. On that New Year's Eve as a 19-year-old boy, that alarm went off again. Meh, meh, meh. And the Lord said, this is it. It's now or it's never. It's now or it's never. I was supposed to have left where I was and went to a New Year's Eve party and play bluegrass music at the Paulding County Country Club. One of my best friends growing up got stabbed there that night and nearly died. Something in my heart tells me that would have been me. But I'm glad the Lord set off that alarm and intervened in my life. Hey, you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow, the Bible said. You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. You have no idea. You say, well, I'm just going to snooze a little while. You may die in your sleep. You may die in your sleep, man. Hey, people die every day. We've buried them from that big to 100. You don't know how long you've got. Man, don't put salvation off, man. It's time. It's time. You say, how do you know it's my time? Because you're hearing the gospel. That's how I know. It's your time because you're hearing the truth of the Word of God and hearing the fact that you need to trust Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
There's a time. Brother Charles, go ahead and get Psalms 107. I can quote it, but I want you to read it. Psalms 107 and verse number 2. I said there is a time to be saved. Now listen up real good.
Psalms 107 verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There is a time to be saved. Number two, there is a time to step up.
Amen.
There is a time to be saved, but there is a time to step up and speak up.
Amen.
It's hey, listen, we're living in a day, hey, when Christians ought to be Christians.
Amen.
I heard a preacher up in New York, boy, it stirred my soul. He got up and turned to Luke chapter number 15. I said, here we go, another message on the prodigal son. And boy, he got his mad britches on. And he said, I'm sick of hearing about the prodigal son. That's what he said. He said, I'm sick and tired of hearing about the prodigal son. He said, I'm sick and tired about hearing Christians go away from God. He said, we need some big brothers. We need some that'll be Christians, get saved, and stay right with God. I thought, boy, that's pretty good. Everybody dogs that older brother. That older brother never left the father. That older brother never turned his back on daddy. Hey, we need some people that will step up and say, I am a Christian and I'm going to be a Christian. There's a difference in saying you're one and being one. Christianity is not just a lifestyle. It's a life. We're not just to be Christian on Sunday. Amen. Man told me one day, I won't say his name, many of you know him, and he's a dear friend, and he goes to Methodist Church, and we was roping one afternoon, and he said, Brother Eddie, he said, you know the difference? He said, I go to the Methodist Church. He said, you know the difference between us and y'all? I said, what's that? He said, the Methodists will talk to you at the liquor store. That's what he said, and we chuckled and laughed. I mean, boy, we just laughed at that thing, and it was funny. And I thought, you know, that's a sad case right there. That's a sad case right there. Hey, we ought to be Christians on Monday, and we ought to be Christians on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I said, let the redeemed of the Lord say, are you saved this morning? Say amen. Well, open your mouth and holler about it. Amen. We got everybody in the country squawking about this and squawking about that. I mean, my goodness. If you listen to the news, the radio, it's enough to make you want to throw up. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I was standing in the airport yesterday waiting on my bag to come around the carousel thing in Atlanta, and they got them screens over there so you can watch TV. That's bad. You got to wait that long. You can watch a show, amen, while you're waiting on your bag. But I'm standing there waiting on my bag, and Hillary's up there just, and I can't even stand the sound of that woman's voice. Oh, go ahead and get your mad britches on. I don't care. I just can't stand the sound of her voice, man. It just annoys me. It's like scratching the chalkboard. Going on and on about her agenda. Then I got in the truck and turned the radio on. They had the South Carolina primary yesterday, and we cut the radio and listened to that. Then I listened to the other side. Man, there's so much junk going on out there. Everybody's speaking up about their rights. Rights. Entitlements. You know what you're entitled to?
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
You better thank God for what you have.
Amen.
Well, I'm entitled to this, and this is my right. No, without God, we're just going to hell.
Amen.
What we need to speak up about is not our rights. We need to speak up about our Savior.
Yes, sir.
That Republican Party, that Democrat Party, they ain't going to fix this mess going on in this world. They ain't going to stop the war in Iraq. They ain't going to stop the feuding between Pakistan and Israel. They won't never stop that. Jesus will. When he comes back, that'll settle every bit of it. Amen. The answer is not in the White House. It's in the church house. Hey, we need to stand up in America as Christians. It's okay. It's okay to dress half naked and march down the street in a parade with your significant other and proclaim yourself a flaming homosexual. But if you walk down the street with a sign that says Jesus saves, you're a nut. We're crazy. We're crazy. We believe in staying with our wives. Amen. We believe in one mate for life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We believe in raising our children to do right.
Amen.
We're nuts. We believe it's wrong to murder babies. Oh, I know. We're just crazy. We're just absolutely, we're off our rocker.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. Let me give you my Joel Osteen. You'll be all right.
Amen.
It's time we stood up as Christians.
Yes, sir.
It's time to step it up, man.
Amen.
It's time to step it up. We got half the world coming out of the closet and we're running in it.
Yeah, that's it.
Amen. We need to step up. Hey, we need some moms and dads this morning to say, hey, we're going to turn this thing around, and we're not just going to say Christian, we're going to be Christian.
Yes, sir.
Hey, are we okay? Hey, it's time. It's time. I believe revival can happen in America. I believe that. You got a bunch of doomsday and naysayers that goes around preaching that God's done and he'll never bless America again. Hey, there's still a remnant here. There's still a remnant here. You remember when the Lord came to Abraham, told him he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? He didn't come tell Abraham that for Abraham to go warn Lot. Abraham never went and warned Lot. God sent angels to warn Lot. I believe God in his heart wants to give mercy and grace, and he went to Abraham because he knew Abraham would try to talk him out of it.
Yes, sir. Amen. Come on, preacher. That's good.
Yes, sir. Am I right? Abraham said, well, God, what if there's 50 righteous there? Would you spare them for 50? And God said, yeah, well, I reckon I would. Well, what about 40, 30, 10? And it went all the way down to 10. Somebody said, I believe it was Brother Tony. Brother Tony Shirley said, what if it had only been one? What if Abraham would have brought God all the way down to one? Would have God spared that city?
Yes,
believe he might have. And he might spare America.
Yes, sir.
But we need to go to God on America's behalf.
Yeah.
Our leaders aren't doing it. We need our preachers to do it, and we need our church members to do it. We need our moms and our dads to do it. We need to step up as Christians.
Amen.
We need to step up as citizens.
Yes, sir.
We need to step up as parents.
Amen.
Do you ever go to the mall? That's like my worst punishment. My wife says, would you go to the mall? And I'm thinking, what did I do? I start thinking, what have I done? Did I do something bad? I got to go to the mall. That's like standing in the corner for me, man. I don't like it, man. There's some strange characters at the mall.
Amen.
Hey, man, you can make a Disney movie at the mall. There's some strange people. But you ever go to the mall and you just get looking at people and you think, where's your mama?
Yeah.
Where in the world is your mama? I was walking through the mall one day, and here come a teenage boy, all dressed in black. A boy now. Now, I'm going to make somebody mad. But this cat had his fingernails painted. You boys start getting your nails done, I'm going to whoop you. Somebody help me right there. Had his nails all painted black, and his hair dyed black and spiked up, and I mean just a fruit cake. And this boy had in his hand a leash. And at the other end of that leash was a dog collar wrapped around the neck of the prettiest little old teenage girl you ever seen under all the black. And I'm thinking, honey child, where's your daddy? Where's your dad? I love my son-in-laws. I do. I love Brother Todd with all my heart. Don't you put no leash on my daughter. She might need a smacking every now and then. I'm kidding. Don't do that either. You bring her to me. I still got a paddle. Amen. Had this little girl on a leash. You put a leash on my child, I'll stomp your guts out and dance in them. Amen. Where is daddy in America? We need some dads that'll stand up and say, not in this house. Well, we just have to let our children make their own choices. Well, do that in the morning, would you? Go in there and wake them up and say, honey, what would you rather do today? Would you rather go to the park or would you rather go to school? Let them make that choice. Unless you got weird children, y'all go into the park tomorrow. Y'all will be at Six Flags. Amen. Are we all right? We need some Christians that will say it's time to be a Christian. We need somebody this morning to say it's time to be saved. Romans chapter 12, Brother Charles. Romans chapter 12. Look at it, verses 1 and 2. I'm almost done this morning. The alarm's going off. The alarm's going off. Some of y'all have already pushed snooze already. I watched you do it. I watched you as I started preaching, especially when you was all right on that time for salvation. When I got that thing about time to be a Christian, you just went like this. You closed the book on me. Amen. You know what you did? You hit snooze. You hit snooze. There's things in my life, Brother Charles, I know that needs to be done. Spiritually, physically. Every time I walk through the garage, I see my bicycle. Every time I walk through the garage, I got a brand new Trek bicycle sitting in the garage. I've had it 6 months, probably. It ain't got 20 miles on it. You know why? Snooze. I know I need to take better care of myself. I know I need to eat right. There's things spiritually I know I need to do. Now keep hitting snooze.
Yes.
Keep hitting snooze. It's time to step up. Brother Charles, read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
I said, number one, there's a time to be saved. There's a time to step up and a time to speak up. You can't hear me? Am I off? There's a time to be saved. There's a time to step up. There's a time to speak up. Listen, there's a time to surrender. There's a time to surrender. We've got too many of God's people sitting on the bench. Let me say it again. We've got too many of God's people sitting on the bench. Let me ask you a question. What are you giving of your life for the cause of Christ? Simple question. Maybe it's time we present ourselves to Him. Well, we come to church and we want God to present Himself to us.
Right.
We want God to move and we want God to hear our prayers and we want God to answer our prayers. And I wonder if God says, hey, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? I got Sunday school classes that need taught. I got bus workers that need help. I got churches that need cleaning. I got thousands of things. I got missionaries that need support. I got buildings to build, and I've got all these things to do while you're sitting and watching the game. Are y'all listening? Man, I love to go to the Braves game. I do. I get me one of them styrofoam tomahawks. I sit up there like all them other idiots. Oh, boy, I like it. Man, they do the wave, I do the wave. Amen. But boy, there's something inside me. I want to get down there on that field. Brother Tom, before Brother Tom retired, he got me and Levi. Levi was a lot younger. He got us tickets to the Braves game. He called me one day, said, you want to go to the Braves game? I said, I don't think I can go tonight. He said, I got you right behind home plate, three rows back. I said, yeah, we'll go. And I've always watched the Braves play, and I've watched them pitchers pitch and watch them strike them guys out over and over and over, and I'm thinking, I could hit that. Y'all ever thought that? You ever watched a ball game and thought, I could hit that?
Yep.
I'll never forget it. Greg Maddox was pitching. That'll tell you how long ago it was. Greg Maddox was pitching. We were sitting right behind the guy with the radar thing. I mean, we was right there, man. You could smell it. Son old Greg had that tongue out. Y'all remember that? He'd bite his old tongue, had his old tongue out. Boy, he wound up and pitched. And I thought, nah. I can't hit that. I can't even see that. I'd never seen a 100-mile-an-hour baseball before. I still hadn't. There's something about me. I don't want to watch the game. I want to play the game. I remember when I got saved, man. I got saved, then our church went through turmoil, and then we got a new pastor, Brother Earl Partain. He's wide as he is tall. I love Brother Earl. That's my hero. I talk about him, but you better not. I love Brother Earl. I remember Brother Earl getting wound up and preaching. I'd see that knot on his tie change colors. You said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about he is soaking wet, buddy. I mean, he'd preach like forked lightning, brother. And there's something inside me going, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. I grew up on buses all my life. My mother was a bus captain for 25 years. I grew up on Saturdays visiting bus routes, riding buses on Sunday. You'd think I got saved, I'd want nothing to do with the bus ministry. I'd been saved 3 weeks. Frank Bird, who's in heaven now, was the bus director, stopped me in the aisle, and he said, hey, your mama needs a driver. Starting Sunday, she needs a driver. I said, well, I don't have, back then it was before CDLs, I said, I don't have a class 3 license. He said, I don't care, we got 4 deputies in the church, drive. That's Paulding County for you right there, amen. He said, I don't care, we got deputies in the church, you just drive. I wasn't even old enough to have them, this class 3. Sunday morning, there I was, that big old steering wheel. Honk, honk, rattle, rattle, crash, beep, beep. Amen. Amen. I was picking up kids, man. I wanted to get in the game. I wanted to do something for Jesus. I wanted to give back to the one who had gave so much to me. Amen. And buddy, I didn't just drive the bus. I became the bus. My bus blew up. Brother Randy, where are you at? There he is, Brother Randy. Brother Randy will remember I had a 4-speed. And boy, we'd get going down the hill, I'd gear that thing down, let out on the clutch, it'd shoot fire out of the back of it. Brother Randy would be back there, do it again. Him and Steve Patterson, get on it, preacher. That thing blowed up, we rebuilt the motor, put a cam in it, amen. Glass packs, do you remember that bus? That was a bad church bus right there, man. What I'm saying, man, is there's got to come a time in your Christian life when you just need to surrender. God doesn't call everybody to preach, but he does call everybody. He doesn't call everybody to teach. He doesn't put everybody in the bus. I don't even think every church should have a bus ministry. I don't think just because it used to be trendy, it ain't now. There was a time when everybody had to have a bus ministry. I don't think it's the call of every church. I don't look down on a church because they don't have a bus ministry. But I look down on one that should and don't. Amen. Some churches, their main focus is missions. And that's the burden God put on that church, and I'm 100% for it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But we ought to find an area in our life and say, God, I want to surrender. Yeah. You know what I did? You know what I did as a young Christian? I crawled up under the Lord's Supper table during a revival meeting, and I said, God, here's a blank sheet of paper. I'm signing my name on the bottom. You fill out whatever you want me to do, and I'll do it. I had no idea, Brother Todd. I had no idea. My vision went about as far. Here was my thought. Here was my dream, my super Christian status. I want to be a deacon and tote the checkbook. Our head deacon always had that big, you know, them big checkbooks like a notebook, you open it up. He always carried that big checkbook, and I thought, I want to carry that big checkbook. Tell a preacher what to do. Amen. That's what I want to do. I crawled up under the altar with that in mind. God, I surrender my life. I'll be the deacon with a big checkbook. Tell the preacher what to do. And God said, right. I want you to preach the gospel. I thought, Lord, I don't even speak good English. He said, I know, so I'm going to send you to New York and preach to Yankees. I started preaching in New York. I'd get to preaching, and women would be elbowing their husband. What did he say? What did he say? What is yeller? I was preaching in New York one time. I said something about Nanner Pudding. I bet you I had 50 people come up to me after the service. What is Nanner Pudding? I said, you are not going to heaven when you die. Amen. I got some people in here now going, what is Nanner Pudding? We're not telling you. We'll keep it for ourselves. Amen. I had no idea what I was surrendering to. But had I not surrendered, my. Sister Angie, what would we have missed? If we had not said, God, we'll do whatever you want us to do. I don't know. I can't imagine still being a plumber. There ain't nothing wrong with being a plumber, but God had greater ideas for my life. But had I not surrendered to God, I'd have never known. And no telling that the hundreds, maybe thousands, that's been saved in these 25 years of serving God. Hallelujah, man. And it's not me. Hey, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. It embarrasses me. I go to these places and preach. I hate preaching in preachers' conferences. I do. I don't like it. I like to go and listen, but I feel like I have nothing to offer them guys. And I'll go and preach, and they'll say afterwards, hello, brother, where did you go to school? Paulin County High School. What school of theology did you go to? I said, I got a PhD. Post hole diggers, amen. I don't feel qualified to do what I do. I don't feel qualified to be your pastor, but one day I said, God, I will. God, I will. One day I asked Brother Johnny Bone, God, Brother Johnny, why does God bless me like he does? Why is God using me? And I'll never forget his answer, and he was serious as a heart attack. He said, because you're just crazy enough to do whatever he said. We need some people to just be crazy enough to do whatever God said.
Amen.
It may look impossible, but if God wants you to do it, you can do it. There's a time to be saved. There's a time to step up. There's a time to surrender. One more and I'm done. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Brother Charles, would you read that? Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Go ahead, brother.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice.
I said there's a time to be saved. There's a time to step up and a time to speak up. There's a time to surrender and say yes to God. You remember, I can't get past this. You remember the little lady who came to the Lord and asked for the Lord to heal her, and he said he wouldn't give his meat to the dogs. And she said, but yet the dogs get the crumbs from under the master's table. Jesus called her a dog. You remember what she said? Her first words were, yes, Lord. You're exactly right. Yes. Man, say yes to the Lord this morning. Say yes to Jesus this morning.
Amen.
There's a time to be saved. There's a time to stand up and speak up. There's a time to surrender. But lastly, and I'm done, I believe there's a time to shout.
Yeah.
I believe there's a time to shout. Somebody came to our church and somebody asked them later what they thought of it. They never tell me that, but they asked them what they thought of it, and they said, just too loud. Just too loud. Well, you better stay out of the ball fields.
Amen.
Amen. You better not go to no ball games. You better not go to no high school graduations.
Yeah.
You sure not better go to a concert.
Yeah.
Amen. This church not far from here, they issue earplugs when you come in the door. Because the rock music's so loud.
Right.
That won't happen here.
Amen.
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 I was preaching in a church a while back, and the sound man. I have to get right with God every time I say that. My boys are sitting up there going, oh, here we go. The sound man. Every time I'd get loud, he turned me down. I'd start getting loud, he'd turn me down. Finally, right in the middle of the message, I said, would you quit that? I got loud because I wanted to be loud.
Amen.
The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet.
Yes,
amen. I like it loud.
Amen.
Man, I remember when I was a teenager cruising the plaza at Dallas.
Yeah, come on.
That's all they was to do in Dallas. Go to Jack's, get a hamburger, and ride around the parking lot. We'd be riding around the parking lot, me and old Roger Bush. Oh, yeah. Roger had a 68 Ford Fairlane. And boy, there's a song, if it ever come on, y'all gonna get mad with me. But it's our national anthem. It's Brother Freddie's anyway. There's a song, if it ever come on, if that radio ever went, down, 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 turn it up. Roger would say, Ed, turn it up about warp 9, Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, it's time we turn our Christianity up a little bit.
Amen, preacher. Yep.
Turn that other mess off and let's turn God on and let's worship Him. Let's let us lift up our voice. Hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Rejoice again. He said, I say rejoice.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, I think you ought to be quiet in church. No, you got that wrong. That's the funeral home.
Yes, sir.
The dead people don't shout, amen.
Right.
But I believe there's time to shout.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm going to do this morning? Somebody comes to this altar and gets saved, I'm going to shout.
Amen.
Somebody goes out there in the foyer and meets Brother Stacy or Miss Lisa and gets saved, I'm going to shout.
Right.
Amen. The Bible said all heaven rejoices over a sinner that repents.
Yes,
but the church just sits there and
look
like chickens pecking corn.
Yep, right.
Man, God's been mighty good to us.
Yeah.
I wonder if God hadn't blessed any more than He has because we hadn't thanked Him for what He's already done.
Amen.
Ungrateful children.
Right.
Hallelujah. Brother Todd, y'all come on and get us a song. Are you mashing snooze? Are you snoozing your life away? Listen, look at me. You're going to wake up and the plane's going to be gone. You're going to wake up and it's going to be too late. Wonder how many areas in our life, every time that alarm goes off and we know we need to do this and we know we need to do that, and we hit that snooze button again and again and again and again and again. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm begging you this morning, it's time to awake. We've slept and we've slumbered long enough. Would you hear the alarm this morning and react? Let's bow our heads all over the house.